Hello, this is Pastor Corey Ehrman. You're listening to my podcast. I hope it blesses, encourages, and inspires you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch you through this teaching. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Or let's go to 14. Amplified Classic. Then Jesus went back, coming out of that wilderness experience, full of and under the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee, and the fame of him spread throughout the whole region round about. And he himself conducted a course of teaching in their synagogues, being recognized and honored and praised by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he entered the synagogue as was his custom on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And there was handed to him the roll of the book of the prophet Isaiah, and he opened or unrolled the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to set forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, broken down by calamity." Ever been in that position? Maybe somebody's like that tonight. God's gonna touch you. "To proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound." By the way, that what he means is the year of Jubilee, which is the year of restoration. Every 50 years was a year of restoration. That means everything was restored back to God's people. All debts were canceled, all properties were restored, everything was restored in that year of Jubilee. And so we don't have to wait every 49 years or every 50th year, amen, because every year now under the New Testament is the year of Jubilee. Back under the Old Testament, it was every 50th year. They had to wait 49 years. We don't have to wait 49 years, because this is the year of Jubilee. This is the year of restoration. Amen. And then he rolled up the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were gazing attentively at him, and he began to speak to them. "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled while you're present and hearing." Now go to chapter 5, Luke chapter 5, verse 17. "And it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, and there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Amen. Hallelujah. So you can see there was a power that was present, or we can say manifest present, to heal them. It doesn't say that there was an anointing to preach. Doesn't say there was an anointing to prophesy. It says there was basically an anointing to heal. So the anointing is the manifest presence of God. What you need to understand, the Holy Spirit is the one who anoints. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." So the Holy Spirit is the one who anoints. Now what you need to understand about the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. But he's not manifest present everywhere all the time. When he manifests his presence, when he manifests himself, is when he's moving, he's doing something. So the power of the Lord was present, or manifest present, to heal the people. So whoever would come could receive healing. Amen? So you need to understand something about the anointing. See, there'll be times in the service when I'll say, "Hey, if you need healing right now, God's gonna touch you, run up here quickly." And then people run up, they get touched, pop, you know, people get healed. And then the service is over, I'm in the lobby shaking hands. You know, Pastor, could you pray for me? Because, you know, when you made the call, I should have gone up, but I didn't. Now, what you need to understand is, I mean, it's kind of hard in the lobby with all these people running around, walking out, people trying to shake my hands to really, I mean, I'll pray for people in faith, but the anointing may not be there. And most of the time, the anointing, see, you can't miss the opportunity of the anointing. See, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. It was manifesting a healing anointing. Holy Ghost was manifesting a healing anointing, and that was your opportunity to run up and grab it. But you didn't. You sat there, you watched, and you didn't press in, you didn't come and receive, and now you're trying to grab a hold of me. You think that I'm the one who's going to do it, and I'm not the one who's going to do it. It's the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll pray for you in faith, Father, in the name of Jesus. I just pray in faith right now that they are healed in Jesus' name. Amen. And many times, I mean, it does work, but many times it doesn't. I'll just pray in faith, but you want to really press in when the anointing is there. Amen. So don't miss the opportunity to receive when the anointing is flowing. So what is the anointing? It's the manifest presence of God. God is omnipresent, but he's not manifest present. He's everywhere all the time. I mean, he's in the bars where people are drinking and getting wasted. He's in the, you know, crack house where the people are, you know, smoking crack, but he's not manifesting himself. Now, sometimes he does. I've had supernatural, so I mean, that's actually one of the things that happened in my testimony. I was in a party at 17 and I was high and the presence, I mean, God spoke to me in an audible voice. The presence of God touched me. I walked out totally in my right mind, but I was the only one. Nobody else got touched. I don't know why God did it that way. Thank God he did it, but that's how he did it. Some of you can testify to things when you were just absolutely in the worst place of your life and then God showed up. Come on. Amen. He shows up in the crack house, the penthouse. Hopefully he will show up in the White House, you know, but we're praying for that to happen. It's kind of tough when guys are walking around in high heels and wearing dresses. Dudes with hairy chest and hairy face walking around in high heels wearing dresses and wearing makeup. Anyways, and there's other stuff going on that, you know, white powder and stuff laying around, they find it, you know, who knows. And then a crack pipe, probably Hunter lost his crack pipe, but that's fine. Don't worry, he's got a big check coming from Ukraine. He'll be fine. Hey, it's the truth. Anyways, moving right along. And then you go to some churches. I mean, they're just, you know, they're smoking some bad religious weed. They're not high on the Most High. They're all caught up in religion. The anointing. Everyone say the anointing. Is the manifest presence of God. When the presence of God is manifesting, that's the best time to receive. That's why you got to press in and receive what God has for you. Amen. If there's a call to the altar, you need to run up and grab a hold of it. If it's truly about you, if it really resonates in your spirit, if God is pulling on you, the Holy Ghost is pulling on you, then you got to go pull on the anointing. Amen. So you got to pull on the anointing. That's called placing a demand on the anointing. All right? Placing a demand on the anointing. Hallelujah. Now, go with me to Mark chapter 5. One of the best stories we find in the Gospels about how the anointing functions. Amen. Hallelujah. Go to verse 21. Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him. Everyone say, a great multitude. I don't know how many people were there, but it has to be thousands of people. Amen. As he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed. And she will live. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. One thing you need to understand about the anointing always needs a point of contact. Amen. Faith needs a point of contact. You release your faith at a point of contact. Laying on of hands is a point of contact. Sometimes just sitting in a service and hearing the word and receiving it, that becomes a point of contact. Amen. When God speaks and you act on it, that's a point of contact. You need a point of contact for the anointing to be released. Amen. And one of the best ways I can illustrate the function and of the anointing is, I can tell you that the anointing is like electricity is in the natural. The anointing is in the supernatural. Amen. The electricity needs a point of contact. Amen. If you were to unscrew a light bulb while there's, you know, electricity in there and stick your hand in the socket there, you make a point of contact, something's going to happen. Amen. If you stick your fingers in the power socket, you take the cover off and expose the wires, you stick your fingers in there, and amen, you make a point of contact, you're going to feel something. Hallelujah. There's electricity there. You're going to get touched. Hallelujah. Now, I've never done it on purpose, but I've been electrocuted a few times. I've touched some live wires. Who's ever touched a live wire here a few times accidentally? You felt something, didn't you? Eddie, you felt something. You got zapped. Hallelujah. Your whole body felt something. Hallelujah. And maybe you were numb for a little while. Point of contact. So the anointing is like electricity. It's always looking to flow. But it needs a point of contact and it needs something that's conductive. Amen. If you touch the live wire with your bare hands, you're going to feel something. But if you put on rubber gloves and you touch it, now you're breaking the flow. You're using non-conductive material and the electricity is not going to flow. Amen. That's why all these cables are wrapped with plastic and rubber, right? Amen. Hallelujah. We got a lot of rubber Christians. Plastic Christians. Non-conductive. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God wants to flow. But he's looking for vessels, channels, cups to fill and vessels to flow into. And it's just like electricity. He's looking for somebody to make contact, establish a point of contact by faith. So as Jesus says, he's on his way. So Jesus went with him and a great multitude followed him and thronged him or pressed him round about. Amen. Anybody ever been in a crowded area? Very crowded with people where you can barely walk. Amen. Huh? Istanbul Metro. I mean, America, you have a lot of space here, you know, but maybe you go to a sporting event or something, or you're just trying to get in and out of the stadium or something, or on, you know, Costco. What? Costco during Christmas? On a Monday? Costco before Christmas? I don't. It does not compare to anything you will find in Istanbul. I can tell you that, my friend. All right. But anyways, very crowded area. They're all pressing around about him. Right? Now, a certain woman who had a flow of blood or issue of blood, basically, she was not well for 12 years. That's a long time. and had suffered many things from many physicians. Sounds like today. Not much has changed, huh? Suffered many things of many insurance companies, many physicians. Doctors don't even make decisions anymore. Insurance companies make decisions. It's crazy. She had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was no better, but grew worse. It's not good at all. When she heard about Jesus, that's the key right there. When she heard about Jesus, everyone says she heard. Faith comes by hearing, right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. When she heard about Jesus, all of a sudden in her hopeless, desperate situation, hope was sparked. Hope was sparked. But hope is not enough. Hope has to turn into faith. So what does she do? She came behind him. That's faith now in action. Hope now turns into faith. She goes into this crowded area where she's not supposed to be, by the way, because she's bleeding and she's unclean. If the Pharisees found her, guess what? Get your stones, boys. We're going to have a stoning today. All right, so she comes in the crowd and touched his garment. See, point of contact. Everyone says she touched his garment. And then look at what she's doing. She's speaking, she says, for she said. Now she's voicing, she's confessing and speaking faith. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. If only I may touch his clothes. She don't even need to touch his body and skin. If I only may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Amen? Hallelujah. I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Immediately. The fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And look at this. And Jesus immediately, I like the two immediates. She immediately felt, and then Jesus immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out from him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amplifies says that power proceeding from him had gone forth. So there was something that flowed out of him. That point of contact released the power. Remember? We read Luke 5:17, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. See, the power of the Lord is present upon Jesus all the time, 24/7. However, even in the midst of the crowd, it only manifested to this one woman. Even though many people are pressing, can I get a few people come and press around me? Come on, run up here, 4, 5, 6 people. Come on, quickly. All right, I'm trying to walk and then you're all pressing around me. I mean, everybody's trying to press around me. I mean, they're all touching me. And I mean, I don't like, some of them are sweaty and some of them are smelly. And you know, it's like, I'm trying to get through. Have you seen those people trying to get into the subways in Japan? They literally have guys. Have you seen them?
Korea.
They have guys in uniforms pushing people in. Have you seen them? It's crazy. The Tomodachi, they push the people in, and people are being pushed in. It's just the most. Pull it up, watch it. I just laugh at it. It's so hilarious. So I mean, everybody's pushing, but then this woman comes behind him. She thought she could just sneak in her healing. Let me sneak in there and sneak my healing in. But then Jesus felt power. That's the same word, dunamis, that you find in Acts 1:8, where Jesus said, when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you shall receive power. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall receive power. Dunamis, dynamite, explosive, dynamic energy. Dynamic, not static, dynamic. What's the difference between static and dynamic, engineer? Dynamic is moving, static is still. See, the omnipresence, static, the touch, manifest present, dynamic, flowing, moving. Power of God moved out of him, boom, into her body, and she was healed of her ailment in the name of Jesus. 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 She was healed completely, totally. Her eye, her body, everything in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. That's what happened, Becca Asensio. That faithful Sunday morning, you came, barely made it. You could barely take 3-4 steps. You were on oxygen, had been in the hospital 23 days, 27 days in intensive care. Her lungs were shot from COVID, everything, pneumonia. She came, could barely walk. She was sitting right there, and I'm doing the offering, walking around, just teaching on the offering. And listen, I felt it, and I ran up. Ran down and just grabbed her, and I said, in the name of Jesus. It's like, and what did you feel? Like a bolt of lightning. She said it was like electricity just hit her, and she was shaking under the power of God and totally healed. Left ear, breathing, singing, dancing, and then put the oxygen tank in the closet or dumpster, wherever. Hallelujah. Huh? And then she got baptized that day. She could barely move, but she walked over and jumped in the pool with all of her clothes on, Sunday clothes on. And to be honest with you, I think I had only seen you once or twice before that. I had spoken with your husband because he called. He said, you know, pray for Becca. So we had prayed for you. And when I saw you, again, you have to flow. When the unction comes on you, you have to go. And I've learned over the years not to care about what anybody thinks. And the funny thing is, I'm sure that day there was probably somebody who got offended. Who cares? Somebody got offended, somebody got a miracle. I mean, think about the difference. It's amazing what happens. Hallelujah. So Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? I mean, think about this. All these people are touching him, yet he says, who touched my clothes? Right? Right? You look at me with that puzzling look on your face. Exactly. That's exactly what the disciples did. But the disciples said to him, you see the multitude. You see the multitude pressing hard around you from all sides. And you ask, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? Actually, they said, who touched me? And he said, who touched my clothes? These disciples were real geniuses. No wonder he said, how much longer do I have to bear with you? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, I like that, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Hallelujah. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith, confidence and trust springing from faith in God has restored you to health. Restoration. So whatever it is you need, one touch, but you're going to have to press in. It comes by the anointing. That's why you want the anointing. You don't want just anybody laying hands on you. Laying on of hands is not something you do. It's just some ritual, something. There's a lot of laying on of empty hands on empty heads. If you want somebody laying hands on you, you better know that those hands are full and the anointing is going to be released. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the anointing is transferable. The anointing is transferable, just like electricity is, the power of God. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. Every single person could have come that day and be healed. Notice, though, it says there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. They were just sitting by. There's always people sitting by. Don't be somebody sitting by. I can always tell in church who's just sitting by and who's there to receive. Are you here to just sitting by, or are you here to receive? See, there's always people sitting by. Doctors of the law, they always know better. Oh, yeah, theologians. They don't do this at my church. This ain't your church. If you want what they have at your church, then go back to your church. Why are you here? Sitting by. There's always Pharisees, always religious people sitting by. But then there's people that come in and receive. Hallelujah. So are you going to be one of those that just sit by, or are you going to be one of those that are going to press in to receive? So you have to, and then it's going to require you to release your faith and speak your faith and make that contact. That's why we always lay hands on people. It's the point of contact. But then many times in a service, you don't even have to have hands laid upon you. This place is so saturated with the anointing. You can just reach out and touch Jesus. You don't have to wait for Pastor Corey to come lay hands on you. You can just reach out and hallelujah. And reach out and receive right from God. Hallelujah. That first time I came to Ukraine, Victory Church, the 2007. So we were in the green room. They had all this great food and everything. And they said, okay, now we're going to escort you. We're going to go. And then there's like four guys, like two in the front, two in the back. And then of course the green room was in the back, that old building. And then you had to walk all the way from the back to the front. And there must have been, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 people there because it was a conference. So I'm walking. I'm thinking to myself, you know, I don't need these guys. As I'm walking, I felt a tug. I hadn't even been on, they don't even know what I look like. I hadn't even been on stage yet, okay? I felt a tug, like I'm walking, trying to put the camera so they can see. So I'm walking and I felt a tug and I almost tripped like this. And then I looked and I saw this woman rolling and screaming, and she rolled and screaming and boom, smacked against the wall, and the power guy was on her shaking. So I realize now why they had four guys came, because they would have been mugged, lynch mobbed. And it's like that in Africa when they hear, like, I mean, they don't even care what your name is. They don't even care what you look. They just hear, man of God has come. They all line up. That's how they operate. Here, what's his name? What's his Instagram? Let me go check him out. How many followers does he have? Is he on television? How many books has he written? What? He's from Turkey. Turkey. Can anything good come out of Turkey? Man. And that's their attitude. And they come, they want to check you out. People come here to this church to check me out. They think they're checking me out. I'm checking them out. No, unfortunately, that's how it is in America. Oh, I'm a prophet too. I'm an apostle too. Yeah, I had a guy come here. The guy that came that brought you here. He said, I'm in a house church with apostles. I said, what? He said, there's like eight of us. We're apostles. I laughed at him. I said, what? Eight guys in a house church? They're all apostles? Give me yeah, apostles grow on trees. We're apostles. Who are you apostling? Each other? People have lost their marbles here, man. They got five people in a garage. They're an apostle. When we were launching the church 6+ years ago now, the first week we had a revival, you know, Pastor Eric Gunyan came and team came from, you remember, you were there, team came from Tampa and everything. Every night there's an altar call. And I mean, every night there's like 40, 50, 60 people at the altar call. And then, so I'm up in the, you know, because Pastor Eric preaching, sometimes I preach, and we do the altar call, I pray with the people. And then we were sending them to the hallway because there's no place there. And I put Pastor Rose and a couple of Bible school students from Tampa, you know, they're filling out cards, and I sent Pastor Rose. After about the third, fourth night, she comes to me, Pastor Rose comes to me and goes, "Who are these people?" I said, "We're trying to get them to fill out a card. They were at the altar call." She goes, "Oh no, I'm a prophet. Oh no, I'm a this. Oh no, I'm a that. Oh, I have a ministry. I have a men's group. I have a women's group. I have a Bible study. I lead a Bible study." And she's like, "They all have ministries. Why are they at the altar call?" She said, I looked at her, I said, "Welcome to America. Now you understand what God sent." And she goes, she's like, "Oh my." I said, "Yeah, we're going to be pastoring these people. They're all prophets, apostles, evangelists. They talk to somebody on Facebook and they're an evangelist. I got kids that have led more people to the Lord than the so-called evangelists." No, that's how it is. All big heads. No anointing though. Because they haven't paid a price to do anything. They haven't paid a price. See, you're going to have to pay a price for this anointing. You want to carry the anointing, there's a price to pay. What is it going to cost you? Everything. It's going to cost you everything. Hallelujah. You're going to have to give everything to the Lord. You're going to have to give your life. You're going to have to surrender everything and press in. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm licensed. Yeah, you can go online right now, purchase a license for $25. There's a website you can go purchase a ministry license for $25. Hallelujah. You're going to have to press into the things of God. The woman pressed in through the crowd. The woman pressed in through the crowd and she took a big risk. She was unclean. She was not supposed to be out in the public, rubbing against anybody, touching anybody, you know. She's not wearing a mask. You know. Not jabbed, you know. She's contagious. She's in the public. She doesn't care. She needs a miracle. I saw somebody today driving in their car with two masks on. Some people still think it's 2020. I mean, it's just become a part of their furniture. You know, they're part of the whole thing. They're addicted to it. Hallelujah. And during the whole thing, I was laying hands on people, breathing on people, spitting on people. Accidentally, you know, I'm preaching. Sometimes spitballs fly out. Especially the front row gets showers of blessing. And just catch them and just say, "Jesus, thank you." Just rub it on. It's an anointed spit. Hallelujah. I've never spit on anybody intentionally, but... I feel a spitting coming on. Can you imagine if Jesus was here today on the planet? They call him a spitting preacher. You go into the meeting of that spitting preacher. He spits on people. He breathes on people. Says, "Receive you the Holy Ghost." And he's not even wearing a mask. Hey. That's how people would be today. Why would he do that stuff? Because the anointing is transferable. Why did he spit, make mud and stick it in the deaf man's ears? And I mean, the blind man's eyes. And then he spitting on his finger and licked his fingers and stuck his fingers in a deaf man's ears. Oh, that's gross. Ew. Why? Because the anointing is transferable. And he was doing it to just basically offend the religious people. God offends the mind to reveal the heart. That's why when the anointing moves, it's always going to offend the mind because it's going to be so out of the box. The woman, fearing and trembling, fell at his feet. That had to be a scene. Hallelujah. And then Jairus is now offended. They come and tell him, too late, your daughter's dead. Don't bother the man. Now he's upset.
If you had come sooner, the woman, why did you have to stop him?
Now people always get in, Jesus like, don't forget about it. And then he shows up at the house. They're already mourning. People are already mourning at the house. Professional mourners had already showed up. They're waiting out on the street corner. You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? You have to come to the Middle East to see. They have professional mourners. You can hire them. They will come and cry in your house. For 40 days. You don't even know what I'm... This is real. It still goes on. The professional mourners had already showed up. You know. It's like some churches. We bring in musicians. Some churches bring professional mourners. Think about that. They're there to mourn. She's dead. And Jesus comes in and says, get out. Can you imagine trying to have a miracle? They go, ah, yeah. Before he cast out death, he first had to cast out the sound of death. And even with the disciples. He only brought in three. Because Thomas was like, I doubt this is going to work. And Judas was like, how much are they paying you? Because, you know, maybe there's good money in being a professional mourner. You know? He's over there trying to work a deal. Man, I'm in the wrong business. I should be able to. You have any opening on your team? Jesus doesn't pay that much. And then he goes in and takes the girl by the hand and says, Talita kumi. Little girl, arise. And she stands up. She stands up in bed. Little girl, arise. And she... So we know that the woman came and found Jesus, touched him by faith. Jairus came and found Jesus, said, would you come? Lay hands on my daughter. She lies sick. But then once she was dead, he thought, it's too late now. There's no difference. As far as Jesus is concerned, there's no difference. Sick, dead, doesn't matter. It's the same anointing. Hallelujah. So you have to place a demand on the anointing. The anointing needs a point of contact, and the anointing is voice activated. The anointing requires someone that places a demand on the anointing. This woman with the issue of blood placed a demand on the anointing. And then Jairus came and placed a demand on the anointing, said, would you come to my house? My little girl lies sick. Amen. And I've had people come, you know, they're desperate. I actually dealt with it this afternoon. A man came, he was a mess. I mean, I don't even want to tell the story, but I was like, I'm going to pray for you. And he just keeps talking. I said, I'm going to lay hands. And he just keeps talking. He gives me scripture, and then he starts dropping me F-bombs. Well, he was messed up. He was drunk. And then I said, I'm going to pray for you. You want me? And you don't give an F about me. And I said, stop it now. And of course, I think I'm talking to the demon anyways. I said, do you want me to lay hands on you or not? And he's like, da-da-da-da. I said, okay, now leave. I said, just get out. Because now you're becoming a security hazard here. Sorry that I even brought you in here, over there in the lobby. He kept banging on the door. You know, I'm not afraid of anything, but I mean, I went there. I was going to lay hands on him. He just kept talking. I said, I'll give you 3 minutes. And he told me his story. He said, okay, I'm going to lay hands on you now. And then he said, give me another 10 minutes. I want to tell my life story. I said, I don't want to hear your life story. You don't give an F about me. I said, it has nothing to do with your life story. Your life story brought you to this point right now. I don't care. You're a mess. You're drunk. You're going to prison. I'm going to lay hands on you. And he keeps talking. He goes, I know the Bible. I know scriptures. And he's called. I said, okay, I've had enough. Get out of here. Because, I mean, you're not going to receive. And then the problem is that they expect, like, you got some magic wand. You're going to wave it over them and fix everything in one shot. A lot of crazies show up here during the day. And a lady show up banging on the door. God told me I am supposed to sleep in this church. I mean, you should come during the day. It's a lot of fun. I said, no, you're not sleeping here. God told me I'm supposed to sleep here. She's got a backpack and a sleeping bag. No, you're not sleeping in the church. Yeah, what kind of pastor are you? The kind that won't let you in. No, always trying to play the guilt trip on you. The kind who has sense not to let you in and sleep in the church. The kind who's not an idiot. I have an anointing, but I also have a mind. I have a brain. Amen. But if people could just understand. And I do believe that the power of God can touch people and radically, totally set people. We've seen it here all the time. Sometimes for some people, it's a process. You walk them through it. But I'm telling you, and that's why we always say, the longer you stay under the anointing, the more you change. Again, the continual. Not one meal, but continually he kept coming. And then she made more room for the anointing. And then eventually there was the miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, I had a gun put to my head, so I'm not afraid of some weirdo. Hallelujah. And you can't operate in fear, but you also have to operate in wisdom. But you cannot operate in fear because fear paralyzes. If you're operating in fear, you can't walk in the anointing. Hallelujah. So you have to have a boldness. The righteous are as bold as a lion. You have to have a holy boldness on the inside of you. But then don't go places. If the Holy Ghost says don't go, then don't go. You don't want to just go into some place where you're not supposed to go. And then you get yourself in trouble. So the Holy Ghost will lead you. Remember, Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit led him into there, he's going to come out of there in victory. Whatever the Holy Spirit leads you into, you're going to come out in victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So the anointing is transferable.
Thank you for tuning into my podcast. I hope that you have been blessed. I would like for you to consider two things. Number one, subscribe to our show to receive notifications of our new podcasts. Number two, support our ministry of reaching the nations with revival by clicking on the link in the description or visiting our website, riverwpb.com. Thank you for tuning in. Look forward to you joining our next podcast. God bless you.